Welcome, everyone, to RB1 Colon of Fantasy Football Podcast, part of the Fake Teams Podcast channel. I am your humble host, Pete Rogers, and I am joined by all of the guys. We have resident old man Clark Barnes, the working girl Jordan Smith, and ginger woodsman Nick Botiford. Guys, how are we doing today?
Doing great, Pete.
Well.
How are you?
I am well as well. Before we jumped on and were recording, actually, it was just me and Clark. Clark was telling me about this shirt that he is rocking, which has measuring one's beard length, and he's very proud. Clark, you are now a man because your shirt has told you are manly with this beard.
I've approached the first level, and I'm pretty excited about moving into Amish in the next couple of weeks, so stay tuned.
Is there a mark at the bottom that says like wizardly or something?
Wizard is second to last. God is last. I thought ZZ Top would have been last, but that's just me.
This is not even on the list. Oh, that's upsetting. That seems like a poor beard.
This shirt's obviously Yankee made.
This is how we're going to gauge how long the offseason is that the offseason starts with Clark being manly, and then by the end of it, he's going to be a god.
I'm going to be so tired of talking about rookies that, yeah.
Also, Nick trying to get on my mustache corner. Not a fan, Nicholas.
I'm super impressed. There's a lot of good mustaches on this show, and by a lot, I mean two. And
you got the connector. I mean, yours counts.
I do. Mine recently has started to connect. This is like I was saying. I'm 29, and this is what I can grow, baby.
I was describing Clark's mustache as a connector to his beard.
You are an asshole, Nick.
We can fight for facial hair.
Welcome to the off-season, everyone, where we're talking about mustaches. We're
just going to talk for hours about facial hair.
We can do a fantasy draft.
Best mustaches or best facial hair.
Yep.
Perfect. Mustache complete, March.
Complete non-sequitur. I once shaved my beard, except for my mustache, on my first day of work where they took my picture from my ID badge. That's a mistake. Don't do that.
I would pay good money, but I also want to see it for free to see that photo.
I'll see what we can do. We might post something on our Twitter feed. So tune in to Pete M. Rogers at
RB1 Podcast. Come on, Clark. Come on. Well, good. I'm glad we opened the show talking about important facial hair. And feel free at RB1 Podcast, tweet us your facial hair if you want to be, I don't know, talked about. And if you want to beat us in terms of facial hairedness. And you can compare your beard to Clark's and see where you fall on Clark's beard scale. We got a lot of news to talk about. So it's just going to be a news pod today. And we'll start it off with, it was breaking news kind of a week or two ago. Not even really breaking. It was the popular news. And it's kind of only gained traction since then. And that is Russell Wilson and Seahawks kind of rubbing gears. Russell Wilson has expressed, he's come out pretty vocally about how he doesn't like to get hit anymore and would like to have some protection from the Seahawks. And just there seems to be some underlying tension between Wilson and Seattle. Clark is nodding his head in agreement, certain that this trade will go down.
First, do you think he's talking about Rihanna? And then two,
Sierra. We talked about this before the show, Clark.
I was so close. And then two, like, doesn't every quarterback want to get hit less?
It's true. But also, I mean, Nick, you're a resident Seahawks fan. Would you love to see Russell Wilson get traded so that Pete Carroll can now really sculpt this team in his image?
My favorite idea floated was to send him to the Raiders. Not because I want to see him in Las Vegas, but because I want to see what Pete Carroll's offense becomes with Derek Carr.
Yes.
Quarterback.
Love it.
Because I can't think of a better way to show Seattle how fucked up this offense is than to put Derek Carr in there and make him try to pop gun arm his way down the field to DK Metcalf. I was pretty happy when it came out. I really like the way that they, his agent said, We have not requested a trade, but if we were looking for one, these four teams are who we would want to be.
The only four teams we want to go to. But we're not, again, I want to say we are not asking for a trade, but if so, we only will go to the Cowboys, Raiders, Bears, and Saints.
That was so good. We'll circle back to this with some other divisional news, so I won't pull back the onion curtain entirely here. But I do just want to say that at one point in Russell Wilson's career, I think it was 2014 or 20, I think it was 2015. The offseason plan was for him to lose 15 pounds so that he could better evade pass rushers. So he would be more spry because the team did not invest in the offensive line.
It's a good sign.
Made
good.
Public. He decided to drop down to 205 so he could better outrun rusher. Like, which should have been a signal to the front office that he was not happy that he, anyway.
I just love the deliciously malicious. I want Russell Wilson to leave so that I can be right about Pete Carroll being crappy. And I believe you. Like,
it makes no sense. Badly. This is just like another example where we've talked about this with Deshaun Watson when we were talking about that trade for the time. It's just like, it's an example of the most prized commodity in all of professional sports is quarterback. And yet these
there's
teams
like 10 quarterbacks who just,
and these teams who have quarterbacks, they treat them like they could just pull them out of nothing. It, like Deshaun Watson, Jerry Jones's treatment of Dak. And this right here, where like the Seahawks, you're kind of like the Seahawks being like, well, maybe we'll just keep Pete Carroll and trade Russell Wilson. It's like, that is absolutely the wrong thing to do. It's get rid of, do whatever Russ wants in order to keep him in house. And like, that's been the kind of things that have come out. I know The Athletic wrote an article about it where like Wilson has tried one of the reasons for this frustration is that Wilson feels like he's not being heard by the Seahawks brass, that he is trying to help implement things or try to flex some of that, you know, quarterback power that, for instance, Tom Brady goes to Tampa Bay and Bruce Arians has been on multiple occasions been like, I deferred to Tom. Like, Tom brought in Antonio Brown. Tom is brought in Gronk. Like, we listened to Tom. And it feels like Russell Wilson wants that same power in Seattle, which by Welsh he deserves and should have. And all he's requesting is like, get me halfway decent offensive linemen to protect me, which seems like a general good building block for a team to make. And yet the Seahawks somehow are kind of like making this a point of tension.
Like, instead of trading our first round draft pick for a safety that we're about to pay a shit ton of money for, just draft me a good guard.
Is that hard?
I haven't been following like all the tiny details of like what people are writing about it or things like that, but just based on what I've gathered, I just assumed that Russell Wilson is using this as like a leverage ploy to hopefully get what he wants. And he has every right to make some demands. He's the franchise quarterback. He is the guy that makes, well, at least he tries to make everything run, even if they don't let him. And I don't know if you're naming like the Bears as one of the four destinations you'd rather go play for, things are either very, very tough in Seattle or you're kind of full of it. Like, I don't know which way I'm leaning on that one, but it's tough.
I don't know why that was on his list. That seems like the Saints, the Cowboys and the Raiders to a certain extent, maybe the Bears is just like, why, what are you doing here, Russ?
He said Jets too, which is a little like, okay.
Players are obsessed with Robert Saleh. Like,
well, so the Jets at least. Yeah. Like the Jets kind of makes, I even would say the Jets make more sense than the Bears, but maybe
they're well set up to have a productive passing game offense.
Yeah.
Like they don't have superstars, but they've got a deep receiving core. They got Mekhi Becton there. Clark, what's going on?
I mean, I feel like with Russ being so unhappy, like he has so many tools in Seattle with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf developing. They've got like four tight ends who are at least serviceable. If Chris Carson comes back for like a 4-year, $5 million a year deal, which I feel like is eventually going to happen, because like no one's going to give Chris Carson a lot of money, but he's good And he's done well for the Seahawks. So I should pay him a little bit. Like, I think all Russell Wilson is asking for is like, please let the quarterback be the focus of this offense instead of this just nonsense. We're going to run on first and second down and hope I can do something on third down, which is what you do when you have a crappy team. Like,
right.
That's what you do when you have Kirk Cousins, right? And yeah. Kirk Cousins is okay, but he's not going to, he's just a mid-level quarterback. When you have Russell Wilson, like, let him play a little bit. And then maybe your team would be a little bit better. And they're so close to doing it, but they are being held back by their coach. And that's why I do kind of love the media warfare of like, I want to leave. Or if you could just not be such jerks, then everything would be okay.
So, yeah, they, some of you were saying earlier, Pete, about how some of these teams that have these, like the quarterback that you really can't replace, it's not just an above average guy, but right. Like you're probably in this coach's career. He's not going to get another one of these. And that they don't seem to treat it like that. It is really interesting. One thing that Pete Carroll has talked about since he came here was the idea of building his offensive scheme around a scheme and not a player. And that specific thing has been repeated for years and years. And like, I mean, there was a time, you guys didn't know me then, but I was like, that's brilliant. I was obsessed with the Seahawks up through like 2013, 2014 is when I started to sour. But the team then, and I think fans still now are sold on this idea that by not asking one guy, i.e. the quarterback, the potential Hall of Fame quarterback, to not basically, if he gets hurt, what are they going to do? That's his thing, is what happens if Russell Wilson is not available? What does the team do? And the answer is, well, it does shit all, because you can't win without a quarterback anyway. Yeah. The synapses, yeah, are not connecting. They're not. Yeah.
And 2 points there. When you have Matt Hasselbeck, that is the offense that you want to build.
Totally.
When you're the Ravens and you have no quarterback, but you have a fantastic defense, that's what you want to do. But when you have Russell Wilson, well, if they get hurt, you're effed anyway. Just like, right, you're effed if your other quarterback gets hurt. You got to take advantage of, like, well, Russell Wilson's amazingly good at not getting hurt. So preparing for that to happen by dumbing down your offense so that Matt Hasselbeck could run it. Well, what are you doing?
Who was the, was it Bill Polian? Some reporter, I think, asked him why the backup, Peyton Manning's backup, never took any first team reps.
Yeah.
And he said, because if 18 goes down, we're fucked. And we don't practice fucked.
Was that right, Tom Moore? Or something like that? I remember, though.
But yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's such a stupid way to build your team, is like, we're going to try to keep ourselves quarterback proof, so it doesn't matter who's under center. And it's like, well, if you have one of the five best quarterbacks under center, that is your advantage. And like, hype that up to the highest degree.
And so this one is definitely top five, right? Like, if you're starting an NFL draft, he's top five, right?
Like, Andy Reid isn't like, I need to build an offense that could work without Patrick Mahomes in case we lose Patrick Mahomes.
No, and that's what begs the question of like, why acquire him? It has not made sense to me why they bother extending him. If what they're doing is that they don't want to make him important and they're going to sacrifice the ability to build the team, which is what you do when you pay a quarterback, you really hurt your ability to build the team. Now, at the same time, the cap doesn't necessarily exist, but like Russell Wilson being on a $300,000 salary, as he was early in his career, is what allowed them to build like the best roster I've ever seen. When you pay the guy, then it kneecaps your ability to build this crazy defense that Pete Carroll wants to do. So I've never understood it. But I think it actually might happen. We should move on to the divisional thing so we can really put a button on why this actually something accelerated this possibility today.
Well, to your point, Nick, when you finally like have to pay the quarterback and he's the franchise quarterback and he's your guy, that just means you have to make less mistakes everywhere else. Like your hit radius is smaller. You have to not draft Rashad Penny in the first round, you have to not make a trade for Jamal Williams. Like your room for error minimizes, and that's what all teams have to deal with, but it depends on how you deal with it.
Yeah. Nick coming for my mustache and coming for my hosting transition chair. So, wow. This is just really,
whew. I prefer to say we all help each other.
Well, maybe, I don't know. Nick, look at that face. Nick he's a schemer. He's got plans. He's got plans under that. Yes, there was big news that came out today, Monday, which was the fact to really ramp up this Russell Wilson, especially since Wilson has kind of made it his like political slogan that keep me upright is kind of his mantra about staying in Seattle. And what do the Arizona Cardinals do but go out and add J.J. Watt to a two-year, $31 million deal? So now Russell Wilson is going to face J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones on the same team twice a year to go along with Aaron Donald and Joey Bosa, not Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa for the 49ers, which this only makes like this brings the point even more forward where it's like the Seahawks need to be addressing their offensive line. Now, Jordan, I know J.J. Watt, after saying that he wants to go win a championship, signing with the Arizona Cardinals really, really rubbed you the wrong way.
I thought it was confusing, not just because I'm a Packer fan and I watched J.J. Watt play when he was with the Badgers and have like a very miraculous run there, but I thought that even if he went with like a Cleveland or a Buffalo, he would have been a little bit closer to winning a title, which he said was a main aspect of it. Title, quarterback, I don't know where money stood on that list, but as you should, you players just in general don't want to cap themselves too much on what they're willing to give up financially. I'm not going to knock him for that, but I think at 2 years, 31 guaranteed, or was it a little less than that guaranteed? But that's a lot of money guaranteed, and I don't know if the other franchises, except maybe Cleveland, could have been able to pull that off, and I would probably choose Kyler Murray over Baker Mayfield anyway.
Yeah, there was a lot of question marks and people comparing J.J. Watt wanting to get out and being released in Houston versus Deshaun Watson wanting to get out and not being released in Houston. But J.J. Watt had, I think, like $20 million or, you know, $40 million maybe over 2 years on the books in Houston, and not a lot of dead money. And he just simply was not producing at the level that he was, which is not insulting because he was producing at an Aaron Donald level for three quarters of a decade
when he was most of his career. Deal. Yeah.
Yeah. He is amazing, but he was no longer amazing on a mediocre team. So I would totally let him go. And it's good that he got picked up by the Cardinals. And I think as a contributor and no longer as an Aaron Donald type or what I would call a J.J. Watt type, yeah, as someone who you just must devote two blockers to on every play, he's not that anymore. But he is definitely someone who I think can be disruptive if there are five other guys who are rushing. And so that's good for him. It's crummy for the Texans to lose a guy like that and not get anything back, but good for JJ. And that's a good pickup for the Cardinals because he's still good. He's just not Pro Bowl, all pro JJ Watt anymore.
And I think the Cardinals, I think I was really upset they didn't go to the Browns just because the thought of JJ Watt and Myles Garrett rushing off the same defensive line had me all kinds of hot and bothered. Also, did you guys see that Myles Garrett dunk highlight video that he posted on Twitter? If you haven't seen it, you should go look at it because Myles Garrett, I don't understand how his body functions. Like he is an alien that has been sent to this earth to just basically wreak havoc on quarterbacks because his body doesn't look human.
Jordan wants to talk about the dunk highlights that came out of Davante Adams this week.
Oh, I didn't see Davante Adams has some dunk highlights.
Oh, Davante Adams has some bunnies. He can get up too.
He can fly.
Sponsored by Jordan Brand, you know, gotta be the shoes. So
I think the kind of just putting a bow on the whole Cardinals defensive line thing, I thought that this was just hysterical. Chandler Jones tweeted out, "Also feel bad for my guy RW3 LOL," which is Russell Wilson III.
Everyone knows it. It's, oh my gosh.
What do you, Seattle? How much do you think it the situation in Seattle factored into Cliff Kingsbury and company thinking maybe we should just pull the trigger on Watt right now? Do you think that they would have done this partially? I mean, obviously they got a really good defensive lineman. He's not what he once was, blah, blah, blah. But do you guys think that they did this to try to fan the flames in Seattle?
I mean, that's super hard to say is what is going on in other people's minds. I think it's a very easy, it's a super easy jump to say, hey, we can get this guy who once dominated the entire league as a tackle, a 3-4 tackle. So not exactly a tackle, sort of an end, sort of a tackle, but we can pair him with Chandler Jones and we can pair him with the other athletic guys that we have on our line. And for like a pretty reasonable for a guy who could go into that Reggie White kind of arc in his career for 4 or 5 more years of just not being the guy who's constantly double teamed, but still be incredibly productive in a line where you have to worry about 3 or 4 guys. So I think this is a good move for the football team. And then as a subtext, it's very interesting to think about how it plays into the, like, Russell Wilson's super happy about having a shitty offensive line. And so let's get JJ Watt to come play.
Let's add another. I think it was PFF tweeted it out or something like that, where the two highest sack rates from 2012 since 2012 till now, JJ Watt is number one and Chandler Jones is number two or something
and
like
just,
that.
And just like, I hate to belabor this point. As someone who watches all of the Texans game, I'm a Texans homer. I really love them. JJ Watt does so much more than get after the quarterback. He really plays the run well. He deflects a lot of passes. Like, it has become an idiom in the NFL when someone knocks down the pass frequently to be like, oh, he's like a JJ Watt who knocks down. He is just a really good football player. And so adding him to your team, I think for the Cardinals, is a fantastic move. And then if it throws a little salt into the wound of Pete Carroll's having to deal with his quarterback, well, then all the better.
All the better. Plus he gets to rejoin DeAndre Hopkins. We're having a little Texas reunion in Arizona.
I don't want to talk about it.
I think with the addition of JJ Watt, like just adding him to Chandler Jones and then Hassan Reddick, they moved him to the outside back from when they had him playing at middle linebacker. He was a pretty good pass rusher last year too. So that might make it easier for them to let Patrick Peterson walk. Just all around, like you said, Clark, JJ Watt does more for that defense than people will do more for that defense than people realize. And I think that, rather than fan the flames in Seattle for Russell Wilson's departure, maybe they have some inside information, or maybe this is just their thinking, is that maybe that relationship is actually a little bit too damaged. And if Russell Wilson goes somewhere else, that Seattle without a legitimate starting quarterback, or if they get Derek Carr back, that's still a downgrade. The situation in San Francisco is a little up in the air because Shanahan wants, obviously not Garoppolo, maybe Deshaun Watson, but they don't know if they're getting him either. And
beautiful.
Matthew Stafford, he might be like, he's good, but he might be a year away from getting everything you need out of him in the McVay offense. So it could be a window.
Yeah, certainly. All right, going to cut in for a quick ad break. Back to whatever it was we were talking about. Awesome. More in the news. Excuse me. Going back to Clark's Texans, we had two releases from the AFC South. Duke Johnson was released by the Houston Texans and Adam Humphries released by the Tennessee Titans. Both guys who maybe could have some fantasy value if they find a good landing spot. Do either of these guys entice you still, Nick?
I mean, Duke Johnson, I think he's had his chances. Does anybody else feel differently about him? I was a big believer, but no longer.
He would look great in Cleveland, and then he just didn't really do much in Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at best, he's maybe a spot starter during the season for you. If a couple of people go down, which is just, that's not exciting.
I've seen him linked. I was going to say, I've seen him linked a lot to New England. If James White, who's also a free agent, leaves in free agency, that like Duke Johnson could be a plug and play guy for that. But I mean, I don't know.
Probably just depends on what White's asking. Belichick knows exactly what he's getting from him. But I mean, so the other guy, Adam Humphries, is, I mean, New England really wanted to sign him badly before he ended up in Tennessee, which was weird. I mean, Vrabel and Belichick must have texted about that or something. I don't know what the deal was there, why the two Pats guys were. Anyway, does he excite me? No. I mean, undersized guy. He's never been terribly productive. He's had, a number of injuries this over the last like year or two. He didn't do a ton in Tennessee. I think more than anything, what I'm hoping from this is that this means they're going to try to re-sign Corey Davis. But I don't know. My needle has not moved, so to speak.
Yeah. I mean, Adam Humphries, so when he became a free agent and he was going, he had like the perfect free agent season in 2018 for the Bucs. He had 76 catches, 800 plus yards and 5 touchdowns. And that was obviously the best. That's the best he's had in his career. And then both years with the Titans, he hasn't really done much. So there is like the potential for him to be a 60 to 70 receptions guy, seeing about 80 plus targets. Whether or not he still is that person, who knows? I think it's going to be something where it's like comes down to what offense he lands in. And if he's back in New England is a team, or if he goes to New England, team that like the Patriots certainly need all the wide receiver help they can get. And the previous connection there already with Stanley, like maybe that's a landing spot for him where I would be intrigued by. Plus we know White slot receivers who go to New England. I mean, damn, those guys put up numbers. So.
And the hope here is that not that you're excited for him in fantasy, but that he might be a slight bump to a quarterback that you're in.
Yes.
I can see Duke Johnson getting some fantasy value back if he goes to a team with like an absolutely stacked offensive line, because I always felt like when Duke Johnson got on the field, whether it's the Browns or the Texans, they're kind of telegraphing what they were about to do. We're going to throw a screen to Duke Johnson or we're going to dump it off. So if he gets behind like a good offensive line where he can actually run and make it a little bit trickier for the defenses to decide what they're going to do, he could get some value back there. Adam Humphries, I think, is like a fifth wide receiver on a roster, not your fantasy roster, but a regular roster.
If Duke Johnson goes to the perfect situation, and I don't know what that is, I'm not putting that out there. If he goes to the perfect situation, could you see him as a Kareem Hunt light in terms of fantasy production, where he's like maybe a reliable, certainly reliable, and I'm saying light, so it's a certainly reliable RB3 who sometimes can give you good RB2 returns.
Anyone getting 20 touches is interesting, but outside of that, no.
Yeah.
And if I just have to guess what his usage will be, then no.
Probably not 20 touches. Yeah.
It'd be a no for me, dog.
Yeah, I would not expect it to happen. If he ends up in a great place, like if there's a situation that reminds me of what we thought like Jarrell Williams might have this year in Kansas City, where like for whatever reason there's just this one unproven starter in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we all think that Darrell Williams is going to be like the potential number two or whatever. If he's in that situation and I can get him very, very late, then I like, sure, why not? But again, we like that because it's Kansas City offense. They passed the running back a ton. Like a lot of cards have to fall in the right place.
Sure. Cool beans. All right. Well, finally in the news, Aaron Rodgers got engaged to short time girlfriend Shailene Woodley. And Jordan, you famously would have been the ring bearer at Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick's wedding had that happened, but it didn't happen. Do you think you'll be invited to this wedding?
First of all, I want to say it's Shailene Woodley. I don't know
Shailene.
How you just pronounced that.
I don't even know what I said, Pete. I apologize.
But I don't know. Maybe if I become friends with Jodie Foster, who just randomly shouted him out last night after her Golden Globes win, maybe I can get up there. I don't know.
I like how your way to get into Aaron Rodgers' wedding is to befriend Jodie Foster, as opposed to like befriending of the celebrities to befriend. It seems like I would just befriend Aaron Rodgers, and that's how you're like, no, I'm gonna become besties with Jodie, and then Jodie's gonna get me in.
I feel like
long con.
Aaron feels like he's a tough nut to crack. Like he doesn't let a lot of people into his inner circle that easily. So you got to go the roundabout way.
I like it. And Jodie Foster, that's a good roundabout way.
Jodie Foster is a sneaky, like, she's been killing it for 40 years, which is nearly impossible for actresses to do. So
I know this whatever. New Clarice show on whatever it is, NBC or ABC. I haven't seen it all, but it's definitely got me to be like, ooh, I should watch Silence of the Lambs again.
So this is apropos of nothing here, but my birthday is in 7 days, and the number one movie in the box office the week I was born was Silence of the Lambs. So that's there just a random fact that'll always stay with me.
7 days? That's going to line. That's a perfect week from now. We're going to be on the show.
Okay, 6 days. Sorry.
Oh, damn it.
Birthday show.
Math
birthday
is hard.
Birthday show. Well, it'll be a delayed. It'll be a 24-hour delayed birthday show. So, I mean, if that doesn't get you, the listeners, to subscribe, to listen to Jordan's 24-hour delayed birthday show, in which he tells us about how he befriended Jodie Foster and got his invite to Aaron Rodgers and Shailene Woodley's wedding. What are you doing?
Well, speaking of potentially taking over hosted duties, I maybe tease what we might talk about next week?
Why not?
Of elder statesmen versus newcomers. In would you draft Ezekiel Elliott or Clyde Edwards-Helaire first? Those are the hard-hitting issues that we may discuss.
We may discuss at some point, possibly. I like that. I like the elder statesman versus young whippersnapper.
Yeah, like all these guys like 8 years younger than me. Fuck.
I know the elder statesmen are like 26. You're like, God damn it. That makes me feel old. All right, well, there you go. There's so many teases that we've given you that if you don't go and hit that subscribe button, we can't offer you anything more. So make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams podcast, wherever you get your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy basketball show. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at RB1 Podcast. Follow myself at Pete M. Rogers. Follow Clark at NFL Clark. Jordan at Jordan_Smith27. And Nicolas at Ginger_Nick without a K. We will be back at you next week. Happy early birthday to Jordan, and then happy belated birthday to Jordan when we talk next. Until then, peace!
I saw Silence of the Lambs when I was totally old enough to get it, but totally not old enough to be okay with it. Yeah, a seminal point in my life, third grade.
Oh, third grade? Oh my god. That would have haunted me.
It has.
No, yeah. That's understandable.